The last two. Christ is at the door, and we must receive him. Oh, you already knew that, Revelation 3:20. Let's say it together. Christ is at the door, Revelation 3:20. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Revelation 3:20. Then the verse that Dr. Graham uses at the close of every message, we must receive him. Let's see. Yet to all who, John 1:12, yet to all who received him, he gave the right to become children of God. John 1:12. Now, because you have done so well, I'm going to recommend that many of you, if not all of you, continue in scripture memory. I'm grateful for the navigators years ago when I went in the service. They had some strokes in my life, and they taught me the value of hiding the word of God in the heart. Every verse you know is a rein that the Holy Spirit has on your life to steer you, to stop you, to giddy up and all the rest, to bring to your mind, to help you through hard times, to help you counsel, convict you of sin, encourage you, challenge you, motivate you. And I'd like to see you continue. The navigators have what's called a topical memory system, and it's in the bookstores here. Check it out. They have it in many different translations. So find you on NIV or NASB or King James or RSV. They have it in different versions. You ask for it in the one that you want. There'll be 60 verses, 20 to a packet. In addition to good verses, they will challenge you to a lifetime of scripture memory. My suggestion is that you get someone else to go through with you and check each other out. That way you can challenge each other. That's the way I did it in the service. And enough said. That's all I'm going to say about that for the time being. Now, let me see. Back in the back of your book, on page... we've got some procedures I want you to look at. Especially if you're going to be doing counseling. Turn to page 47 in the course book. Page 47 in the course book. General information, preliminary instructions. Always bring your pen or a New Testament and a ballpoint pen. I think it's good, even though you're using a commitment folder, to lay it in a Bible. Everything in the folder is Bible, but it's good to lay it in a Bible. Bring a pen that has a hard point, because you're going to transfer when you fill out the counseling card from one sheet to another. Saves you time. Wear your badge on your right lapel. You can be given your plastic holder. I don't care which side you put it on, but they suggest right lapel. They say if you look at a person, you're looking at right across here. No counseling should be attempted unless you're wearing your badge. If you lose it or leave it home, come to that check-in. You'll know where it is, and we'll have a printout on all the supervisors and counselors, and we can quickly give you another badge. No one will counsel without a badge, and you can understand why, can't you? Anyone could be down there. And we'll have about 400 police officers represented by the pastors and supervisors who are right down there watching sure that no one is counseling without a badge. Number four, how does that get in? Be neat and clean in your personal appearance and something to what? Sweeten the breath is recommended. Hey, you've gone to meddling now. In the early days, we did all of our counseling in a counseling room, and we were pretty much confined. And you know, bad breath could be very offensive, couldn't it? How many of you know someone that ought to do something about the breath? Even a loved one. This boy down here has got his hand up. Is that your sweetheart? Billy Graham said, counselors on the front in these smaller auditoriums, he said, Charlie, I noticed about invitation time, the men go into their side pocket and pull something out, and women get in their purses and they put something in their mouth. I said, what are they doing? I said, well, Billy, I recommend a peppermint. He pulled out a little bottle of tips, a little green stuff, and he said, this is what I use. A drop of this will kill anything. And I said, what would it look like at invitation time if 5,000 counselors did this? Be like an old John Wayne movie, you know, where you take a couple and boy, you're ready to go. But we want to be biblical, so read it out loud with me. His lips are perfume like lilies. Breath like lilies. Say it with me. His lips are perfumed like lilies, and his breath is like myrrh. Just a word to the wise. And I'll give you the privilege of offering me a mint any time, and give me the privilege of offering you one. How's that? Now, please, get out your packet this little Operation Andrew folder. Little several fold that will determine largely whether your church gets any new members or not. Very largely in this little packet right here. Y'all have one? Should be in your packet. Hold it up. You have one? Okay. How many of you have had an Operation Andrew Sunday in your church? Let's see your hands. Good. How many of you have at least one name on an Operation Andrew folder? Let me see your hands. Boy, you're doing well. So I don't need to spend a lot of time on this, but for the benefit of those who don't, and for you that have a name or two, maybe you can add another one. We started using Operation Andrew in London, England in 1954. There was a Brethren Assembly. A man by the name of Bob Pettifer had a small assembly, and he had a guest night service one Sunday night a month. Everything was geared around evangelism. Sang, special testimony, prayer, visitation, special message, and the church was growing. We picked the idea up in 54 and took it to Scotland in 1955. Back in those days, we were averaging at Haringey Arena about 10,000 to 12,000 capacity, about 125 to 150 people a night coming forward. Next year, we took it to Scotland and then started using it. The plan is simple. It's taken from John 1:42. Andrew met Jesus, went after his brother Simon, and brought him to Jesus. Now, our crusades, many times in the early days, were great singing conventions and a lot of good music and wonderful message. Billy Graham has always preached the gospel. But we don't know how many unchurched were there, how many people that needed Christ were there. We didn't have this plan employed at that time. Now, we ask people, all of you and your people in the church, to pray for seven people, at least 1 to 7. Contact them to build a bridge. Show them you really care. You're concerned about them. Invite them to the meetings. Stand with them if they make a commitment. And then stay with them until they're growing in Christ in the church. What a difference it can make if we've got 950 plus churches that are participating in this mission. What have we averaged? 100 members. Some churches have 1,200 and more. What if we average 100 members in every church? 900. You mathematicians could tell us in a hurry how many possibilities. But what if everyone had 5 names on the list? You know that we would be praying for, well, you can guess, 500,000 to 1,000,000 people. Maybe some 2 or 3 the same person. Think what that could do, right? You pray for, and God answers prayer. And then you contact, you put feet to your praying, and you do things. You show them a loving interest. Do things for them and do things with them. Take them to the hospital. Bake a cake or a bowl of soup or whatever, to show them a genuine love. My wife, as I shared, I think last week, was one of the greatest people to go out of her way to help people, and they love her for it. They'll purr when you give them a little attention, really. Pray for, contact, invite. And someone has said, fish in many pools, and then pay attention to the nibbles. You have the hairdresser, the barber, the groceryman, the laundryman, you name them. You've got 5, 6, 7 people. So you invite Betty, but she can't go. Maybe you can go to Margaret. You invite Bill, he can't go, so you go to Harry. Always someone else to invite, take along. And then you're praying that God will put that seed in their heart and bring forth fruit. And trust that God's going to move many of them forward. And if they do, then you know their commitment, and you're going to stay with them like a spiritual mom and a pop and make sure they get to all the meetings, the Bible studies, the church services, right? And if they don't go forward, pray all the more. The seed can be very well planted, and God can bring forth fruit later on. So don't give up. So now, this little folder then really helps us reach into every segment of society. Open it up inside cover. I'm just going to take a breeze through it. For you that haven't been through it, get a commitment. We've got 1,000 here tonight, I think, haven't we, Glenn? What if every one of you folks tonight had 5 names? How many would that be? 5,000, wouldn't it? Huh? Think of what could happen. Don't you know your church is going to profit from that? Now, I gave you the original was pray for, contact, invite, stand with, and stay with. Now, we've given a little bit of a different twist, and so I want you to read out loud with me. Step 1, look around. Read it out loud. Look around, for your mission field is right where you live, work, or go to school. List below the names of unchurched persons in your community you will pray for regularly. There's a place for 7 names. Start listing. Now, look up. Number 2, look up. Read it. Look up, because God changes people through prayer. Pray each day for yourself and these people that God will give you opportunity to share His love. If possible, join 2 others in a prayer triplet. How many of you are in a prayer triplet? Could I see your hand? Several are. The idea is that say that I've got 4 or 5 names, and Glenn Bloom over here says 4 or 5 names, and Blossom. I didn't do that on purpose. You're all ready to bloom, okay? I can see them coming out of the ground. What are they, jonquils coming up already? So that he has 3, and Dennis, what's his last name? Dennis. Holstead. Holstead. Say that the 3 of us, we each have about 4 names, and we agree to meet once a week or every 2 weeks, and we're going to pray. The bottom of the page, read that verse on the bottom of that middle panel. Again, I tell you that if 2 of you on earth agree about anything you ask for, it will be done for you by your Father in heaven. For where 2 or 3 come together in my name, there I am with them. What power in that? Top of page, number 3. No, wait a minute. Oh. Now, in the box in the middle, that's where if you're going to be in a prayer triplet, okay? Top of page 3, number 3. Read out. Look out for ways to cultivate friendship with unchurched persons and earn their confidence. Spend time with them and invest your life. In the box, read it. Building friendship. I plan to develop a friendship in the months ahead with the person listed below. Everyone get a name on that now if you don't have one. Everyone put a name down. Surely you know someone that's outside of Christ or doesn't go to church and needs the God working in their life, don't you? Wow! Put a name down. And let's get serious about this. Number 4. You got the name down? Number 4. Look forward to begin to talk with each person on your list about attending the crusade with you. Choose a specific date and pray and invite them. Number 5. Look after those who respond to Christ or even begin to show interest in the gospel, for they need your encouragement. Continue to love and pray for those who do not respond. I don't know if you remember this or not. Fred Diner, wave your hand. Where's Fred tonight? I saw him earlier. Fred? I don't know, Fred, if you remember, way back in the early 60s, we had a crusade in Miami Beach. A great big policeman by the name of Jack Fullenwire. This was written up in Decision Magazine. He got converted on January the 2nd, watching one of our films. Bill Brown was showing it, Fred. Bill brought him in the office the next day and introduced me. And we got to talking. I gave him some follow-up literature, and I said, Jack, we're starting classes on the 21st of January. I'd like you to come along. He did come, and he was like a bird with his mouth open. When we came to the Operation Andrew part, we had a card in those days with 10 lines on it. Don Mumma, the great all-American, helped to put the card together out on the West Coast. The name on the top of the card was God's Most 10 Wanted People. How do you like that? An FBI agent and Don were working together. Well, we reduced it to 7 now, the perfect number. But Jack Fullenwider took a card, filled it out, took another card, filled it out, took a 3rd card and filled it out. Night after night at a 2-week crusade at Miami Beach. Big old Jack, about 6'4". When the counseling was over, I'd be down at the front helping, or he'd come down with 18 different people, if you read Decision Magazine, that he brought. And he'd cradle these people under his arm, and one I'll never forget. He was a police officer. He said, Charlie, I arrested this man 5 years ago.
Now he's a prisoner of the Lord.
Oh, they both wept and tears were streaming down their face. We were in Kansas City a few years ago, and two of our office staff, married couple, after the Thursday night class, and they all had names they were praying for, they went home. They were home about 15 minutes, went to the door. There was a young lady that both of them had a burden for and had been praying for, and she came with a real prayer need, and that night she opened her heart to Jesus. You know, Isaiah says, and it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they're yet speaking, I will what? Hear. So, you get into the program. Many churches have this last sheet over here in their hands. In fact, one church up in the New Jersey area had a big net, Glenn, down at the front, a fish net. And when they turned this in on the Operation Andrew Sunday, they put hundreds of names in the fish net that they would be praying for on a regular basis. Well, this is the plan that reaches out to every segment of society. You are going to reach your people you're associated with. Students reach students, housewives, medical people, their people, professors and so on. Reach out and touch someone like the telephone ad says, right? Let's stand and sing Bringing in the Sheaves, all right? Bringing in the Sheaves. Bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. Bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves, we shall come rejoicing. Bring in the sheaves. At Psalm 126, verse 6. He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Bow your head right now and pray for one on your list, or one, maybe only one you put on tonight, or one or two. Bow your head right now. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. I had lunch with a man today who just recently led his brother to Jesus Christ he'd been praying for. Pray for that person that God would begin to open his eyes and open his heart. Father, we see the potential for Operation Andrew, and we just pray, God, that every one of your children in this area will be burdened enough to start praying for one or more people and contacting them, inviting them, and so on, and staying with them if they make a decision. What an impact it could make on this community and on the church. Give us no rest in our sleep, Lord, till we have names that were on our list for whom we're praying and believing you to touch their lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, shake hands with someone and say, you know, you'd make a good counselor. Just tell them right now. We're not going to be favored by a duet here, these two gentlemen right here. They didn't know what they were getting in for, did they? Page 33 in your course book. So you pray for, you contact, you invite, you stand with and stay with. Or look after, take care of them. Third paragraph, read it out loud with me. Follow-up has been defined as a process of giving continued attention to a new Christian until a person is integrated into the church, discovers their place of service, develops full potential for Jesus Christ, and helps to build Christ's church. Paul is a great pace setter. His strategy and methods were fruitful and effective in his time and should still work today. Page 41. Needs of a new Christian. Last week I asked how many mothers were here, and several raised your hand, and I said, was it all over when the child arrived? And you said, it wasn't, it's just beginning, right? When our boy Danny, the oldest boy, was born, my wife had a book by a very eminent doctor whose last name began with S. P-O-C-K. Bit controversial, but he had a big book on child care. That became her Bible. I tell you now, she had pages dog-eared. He said, feed your child every 4 hours, 10 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 6 o'clock. How many of you did that? Well, the second one we fed every time he got hungry. But he got fat, too. But if I got this right, and you ladies can straighten me out in a hurry, my wife was told to take a little bit of nourishment before the feeding, maybe a half hour before, tea or something warm or milk or whatever. Is that right? To get the system flowing. I remember one time in the early days of our old boy Danny, and I slept right in the same bed, in the same bedroom with the child. She had set the alarm early to get ready, and the alarm went off, and her head came up and went down again, and she went right back. And Danny came out, he was just hungry, and she couldn't quite satisfy him. She needed to be ready herself. That's why we've been spending time on the Christian life, and we've been talking about the basics, haven't we? My wife didn't wait till the child arrived to get the bathinet and the crib and the cradle and the receiving blankets and all the paraphernalia that goes with it. She had it. We had a corner full of stuff before the child ever arrived. That's what we're doing. We're getting ready, right? We were missionaries with the Navigators, not even on salary. We had to borrow a lot of it, some as you have probably. But the new babe needs feeding, protecting, and training. 1 Peter tells us that newborn babes desire the sincere milk. King James says of the word. We're either on milk or we're on meat. And too often we stay on milk most of our lives. When I got converted in Olean, New York, I was 16. I wasn't in my church. I was in my mother's church. We had a revival meeting. Dr. John R. Troy was the evangelist. She took me up on a Sunday night. Although I knew a lot about Jesus, I didn't know him. And that night, for the first time, I opened my life to Jesus. They took us in a prayer room, had prayer with us, bit of instruction, off we went. My pastor never knew about it. For 9 years, I bobbled around, never missed church, but I had one foot in the world and one in the church. I'd like to think that if someone had gotten me into a place where they were meeting with me, a pastor's class, Bible study, some help, it would have made some difference in my life. So I wasted a lot of time. How many of you did the same thing? Let me see your hand. Many of us have done that. So what we'd like to do is really get these people to the best of our ability, not only to pray for them, but get them into some nurturing where they can study the Bible together and pray together. And then protection. This passage tells us that Satan is like a roaring what? Walking about seeking whom he may what? You know what happens in the African plains. You've seen many, I'm sure, pictures of the big lion laying in the grass and watching the wildebeest and animals out there, and he'll find one young one or a stray, and first thing he knows, he's after that one, circling and taking that one. Well, this is what Satan does. He loves to pull us out, to cause doubts in our mind, to cause discouragement, and the first thing, it's a dropout. That's why, through the years, people come into the church and go out the other door. And so we would like to see them stay in there. Wouldn't you? I'll never forget, I was leading a Bible study with the Navigators years ago out in Seattle, Washington, and a little sailor by the name of Art Hawk. He stood about 5'4", his blue uniform, and they always had their either cigarettes up here or their memory pack. And little Art, we had a chance for people to give us a verse they'd been working on. And Art stood up and he said, "I have a verse, 1 Peter 5:8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your advisor, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking you." Advisor, the devil is. But he's given the wrong advice, right? And someone has said, feed your dog at home and he'll stay at home. But if you don't feed him, where's he going? He's going to the neighbors or to the garbage dump. And that's why maybe a lot of our churches are losing membership, because we're not really feeding them from the pulpit or feeding them in Sunday school or feeding them in Bible study. And they're looking for something, right? The Mormons and Jehovah Witness, they will be very active following up our crusade. Knocking on doors, inviting people to get into Bible study, and they're growing today on church people. So let's be faithful in protecting. Then, training. The Navigator 2:7 series came out of this passage right here. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in Him. Let's write it down. The King James says, walk in Him. The Christian life is not a sit-down, it's a daily walk. NIV says living, continue living in Him. And then it goes on to say, rooted, built up, and established in Christ. And what's this word? Through what? Teaching, pastor's classes, and so on, Bible study groups. Rooted in Christ, built up in Christ, and established in Christ through teaching. That's why we would like to bring to bear, for every inquirer, a real good follow-up where they're getting help from the pastor and help from the counselor and help in Bible studies where they're really growing in Christ. And notice this word capitalized down here. Someone, not what? It's the touch of the individual that really counts. You mothers know that and fathers know that. Each individual is different. They need that touch. You may remember an experiment several years ago. They bottle fed a number of babies for a month, and the mother, in the other case, breastfed and loved that little one and talked to it and smiled at it. At the end of the month, they could see a marked difference in the adjustment of the baby. The one that was fed by the bottle was more irritable and cranky and cried, where the one that was taken care of by the mother, the loving assurance of the mother, the warmth of her body and her arm and smile of the face, much better adjusted. And so it is with the new Christian. They need our help. Amen? You willing to help? Okay. Turn back to page 35. I'll show you the umbrella very quickly. We're not going to take time on this. But this is what we call the umbrella of follow-up. We do all these different things in follow-up. We call it the shotgun approach. You shoot a bullet. If you miss, then you missed. We have counselor follow-up, literature, and so on. Every one of these folks of the umbrella have an abbreviated paragraph. Don't look at them now, but you can go look at them later if you're going to be a counselor or if you're not going to be a counselor. We ask the counselor to do a couple of things. Write them down. One, contact. Within 24 to 48 hours, make a contact by telephone, by a letter, or even a personal visit if possible. You don't have to spend a lot of time on them, but contact the person. Second, invite back. That if there's only one meeting left, if you counsel the first meeting, you have four more. If there's another meeting left, invite the person back and tell them to bring someone. They have a lot of friends, many of them who don't know Jesus. And that's why we see an increase sometimes in people making commitments to Christ. Because now these newborn babes with their first love are bringing their friends back. We were in South Carolina a couple of years ago, and a pastor down there, after one of the meetings came up, and said, Charlie, I was a news commentator in Wichita Falls, Texas, back in 1974. Billy Graham was in Lubbock. I took my wife and little girl daughter to the meeting, about 200 miles. And I said, we're going to have to hurry back afterward to get home before too late. I think he was on TV early in the morning. I'm not sure about that. But his daughter went forward. And that faithful counselor wrote a letter more than one time, but said, get your daddy and mama to help you with your lessons. Get your daddy and mama to take you to Sunday school and to church. Well, you know what happened? The preacher said, I got converted. I'm a preacher now. My daughter married a preacher, and my son is studying for the ministry. I'd like to think that just friendly little letter that just took a few moments, that loving counselor wrote to that little girl, making some suggestions to her, bore a lot of fruit. Wouldn't you say so? I think so. So, counselor, a little bit of help. Then there's literature. Billy Graham writes the same night a letter goes out. We're going to look at living in Christ in a moment. The same night, church follow-up. The follow-up team will be getting the name of every individual that night out in the mail so that, Glenn, you'll have names if the mail's delivered the very next day. And all the rest of your pastors will have names right away. Then there's radio follow-up. And in every packet, there'll be a little card showing the call letters, morning and evening. Tom Phillips and I have a discussion over the basics, 15-minute program, about salvation. What does it mean to be a Christian? How can I be sure? What happens if I sin? Basic little studies morning and evening for people to tune into. One-on-one, we're going to give you a packet tonight that can be used one-on-one. And next week, another packet can be used one-on-one if you want to just week after week meet with someone and take them on through some basic lessons. Decision Magazine, how many get Decision right now? Well, every inquirer gets it for 6 months, and you know what's in it, don't you? Billy Graham always has a message, and there are many other lessons in there, Bible studies, testimonies, and a lot of help. They get it for 6 months. Discovery groups, that's what we'll be doing next week. We pray that we'll have thousands of you take the training and go back to your churches and meet with your pastors and organize your Bible study program. Then we have what we call a mop-up follow-up. About 3 weeks after the crusade, we phone every inquirer. We even use long-distance watch lines or whatever they call them today to call people in Louisiana or Michigan that came forward. And we ask 5 questions to find out, really, did we meet your need? Well, how much more help can we be to you? And then we reactivate the follow-up program and send more names to people, more visitation and so on, because we would like to really help everyone that comes forward. There will be some special follow-up, and students, maybe some military and medical, housewives, when it's all over. So we would like your help in making this shotgun work and helping people in their commitment. Okay? Now stand up. Take out the Living in Christ. Living in Christ. Take it out. And open it up so that the inside is looking at you and the outside at me. Living in Christ. We call this the first bottle of milk. First bottle of milk, right here. No. Billy Graham, you listen, he'll almost verbatim, when he talks after he's prayed with the people, almost verbatim, he's going to say, now tonight, I want you to read your Bible every day, and we're giving you a Gospel of John. Secondly, he said, we're going to give you some scripture memory. Start working on these verses right away. Then we're giving you some Bible studies that will help you grow. Do your lessons. Now, you've got the book right here, and to your left is the Gospel of John. And if you have a new book, you notice what you have, that card just right at the end of the Gospel is a daily reading card. How many have a daily reading card right at the end of it? Raise your hand. If you've got an old book that we're changing over, it's page 39 in the workbook to the right. But if you've got the new book, the daily reading program is on the left. That's all you need to know, right? How many have it with a daily reading program right at the end of John to the left? Okay. It's 39 in the workbook in the older books. Now, secondly, Billy Graham will say, tonight we're giving you some scripture memory verses, and we want you to start working on these verses right away. It's a good anchor for your faith. The devil's like to come along and say, oh, you don't believe that. You quote the scripture, say, get thee behind me. Now, the front flap is a flap of memory verses. You get it? And the first lesson, you'll notice in the lower left-hand corner, is John what? John what? All right, turn to it. John 3:16. On the back of that card is 1 John 1:9, right? Is that right? Now, just put an abbreviation on just above promise of salvation. Put acceptance and assurance. Acceptance and assurance. Use this verse. With a person, last week we went over 3 major decisions. Those who are accepting Christ, those who were coming for biblical assurance, didn't we? Last week, right? So this verse here, you're going to tell them to start reading your Bible and keep a record of your reading daily. Memorize this verse and go over it with them. This is for the person who's making an acceptance, commitment, decision, or assurance. Now read the verse out loud with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Go over that time or two and tell them to memorize, he or she to memorize it, and show them. What do you need for eternal life, Betty or John? What do you need? What do you need if you want eternal life, according to this verse? What is the key word? Strictly believe. And if you believe, Betty or John, what has God promised you? What has he promised? Eternal life. Memorize that. And if the devil comes along, say, I'm taking God at his word. Now, the back side of that card, put down rededication. The person who knows Christ, has gotten off the path, drifted, whatever, he's come back into fellowship. You help them on that page in the commitment folder to get back on the pathway, and then go over this verse. Read it out loud with me. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Drive home. Maybe you can circle a word or two. If we confess and so on. And tell him every time you get off the pathway now, memorize this verse and have enough sense to confess your sin and get back on the path again. Now then, read your gospel every day. Start memorizing the verses that are set for you here. Third thing, we want you to do some Bible study. Turn to page 11 in the workbook to the right. Page 11. And you have the first Bible study lesson. Very simple, but basic. All in the Gospel of John. Read the question with me. Number one. What did Jesus come in the world to do? And where's the answer found? All right, now here, if you're going to be a good counselor, you're going to turn over to page 2 of the Gospel, to verse 29, and help the inquirer answer that first question. You're going to get him started on his Bible study. You're going to turn to the second page, verse 29. Now, you answer the question right now. What did Jesus come in the world to do? Put a simple answer at the first line on the card. What did Jesus come in the world to do? Write it down. Write it down. Make it personal. Make it personal for them. Write it down. Simple answer. The reason we're doing this, friend, is so you'll know your way around in the book. You won't be fumbling around wondering what you're doing next. You want to show them you really know what you're doing and you're ready to help them in the next step. What's the answer? Simple answer. Then encourage them, as Dr. Graham has, to finish the Bible study. Now, look at the last flap. What is the last flap in the book? What is it? Postcard, right? You know, if they do a certain amount of required study, memory verses and study and reading, they send this in and they get a book from Billy Graham, a devotional book. That's an incentive. And so you encourage them as you call them or write to them, go through the book. We were giving away for a long time, day by day with Billy Graham, and if we have any left in print, Fred, are we still printing that? Do you know, Millie? We give them one of those. Okay? Now, while we're in the back, you'll notice right in the back the counseling card. It's your attendance slip tonight. Let's look at it. Attendance slip. Take a moment now to fill out the attendance slip so you that will be counseling will understand where you're going to be registering the inquirer's name. Read the top of the card with me, please, that white sheet. Billy Graham Crusade Counseling Card. Please print plainly within the blocks. What do you think that means? We would like to read it. So right now, put your last name, like I'm doing, and press down to see if make a good copy of it. Put your name down, your initial, and your age, if you don't mind. I'm 75 and getting started in my ministry here, okay? Soon as you get your name down, lift the white sheet and see if you can read the information on the buff card. Can you? Press a little harder. Okay? It should. It's pressure sensitive, and sometimes it's like the Polaroid camera. It comes a little darker as it develops. Now, friends, I'll give you 2 minutes to see how much of the card you can get filled out. 2 minutes. Quickly. Down the card. 2 minutes. All right, you've done enough. We've got to move along here. We've got to get through here so we can let you hand in your application, and you that have not handed yours in. Let me have your attention, please. Everyone this way, quickly, and we'll move on. Once you get the name and address, please check and say, do I have your name spelled correctly? Do I have the right address? Day after day, we have maybe 1,500 coming forward, and we get a number of these envelopes back, no such. Billy Graham's letters to them, no such. Either we've copied it wrong or they've given us the wrong one. So be as careful as you can be. Skip the decisions. Down here, do you attend church, yes or no? How often? We would like to know. And people say, well, I do. They may go Christmas and Easter, or maybe one or the other. We would like to know. If they're not going regularly, we are going to send their name to a participating church that we know will get after them and encourage them to get into the fellowship. If they say they do, say, what church do you attend? And if they say Devil's Temple, write it down. Don't guess, just write it down. Devil's Temple. But don't bother with the address. We already have it. We know what it is. So no matter what the church is, if they go regularly, that does not mean it's going to that church. Understand? But we'd like to know their background. We have a wonderful committee. And Bob, where's Bob? Pastor of Open Door. Where is he? Is it Paul? Excuse me. Paul. Stand up, Paul. This man needs our prayers. He's handling all the follow-up. And he's concerned, right, Paul? And he's got a beautiful committee. Representative of the area. You don't have to play church at all or getting people. They are going to take care of those who need a good church. So write down the name of the church. If, down here, they are not attending, which church, what's this? You can inquire his occupation because there may be some occupational follow-up. If a student, where? Because we will follow up high school, college. And then you write your name. Write your name right down on the bottom. This is where naturally where your name will go, right on the bottom. I'm the counselor, so my name, and of course, the inquirer's name will be up here. Now, on the side of the card to the left, this is going to be your little follow-up check-off list, the white sheet. So right now, tear the white sheet off and put it away. I do not want it handed in tonight. We'll get some, but we don't want it. We're going to get the buff card tonight. Understand? The buff card. The white one is yours for follow-up night after night. I should have a little 1, 2, 3 tear. We get them all out at one time. Do they tear out fairly easy or kind of hard? Let's rip it out. Okay. Okay. Attention, please. I got one more thing I want to do with you before we close here tonight. If this buff card now is the one you're going to hand in every night at the stadium, this is the card that initiates the follow-up. If it is not legible, please copy from the white sheet any information that's not legible on the buff card. You understand that? Before you hand it in. That will help us. Otherwise, if this card is not complete, we don't understand it, we are at a loss what to do. We have people laboring over these many times. Is that an I or an E or an L? And they really do work on it. Okay? Then hand it to a card collector wearing a big red ribbon. Card collector. All right, now how many of you would like to sing in the choir or usher and you're not registered? Let me see your hands. In the upper right hand of that buff card now where it says date, you see that? Write choir or usher or both. You can be an usher in the choir and a choir member, usher, and also a counselor. You'll have 3 badges. Choir badge, usher badge, counselor badge. Do you like badges? You have them all over here. I'm sure there'll be a lot of it. We do take an offering in the choir, so really. All right. Now, in a moment, I'm going to have you turn this in, but listen very carefully. There are 3 major decisions here. Some of you came to this class or another class, and you're here tonight having visited this class tonight. You thought you were a believer. You knew a lot about Jesus. You go to church regularly. But you realize after starting memorizing and doing some studies and going through the class, you never had a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. And during the training, Jesus became real to you. Last night at Schwenkfeller's church, I had 10 people that checked. I accepted Jesus Christ during the training. Remember the first week we prayed for a revival, didn't we? Didn't we? I had over 30 that checked. I got biblical assurance. I really wasn't sure, but during the training, I can say like Paul, now I know whom I have believed. 81 checked rededication. This was a class of 445 people that handed in cards. And so we had a little celebration there after the class was over. We're not sending any names out, but if you trusted Jesus, check it. If you got real biblical assurance, check it. If you rededicated your life, check it. Sometimes they check another, but those are the three main ones. This information to the left on this card is for Paul's department, the co-labor team. You don't have to worry about that. NCF, DC, and so on. Tear the card out, turn it over, and hand it to an inside aisle. Just tear it out and hand it across to an inside aisle. If you check something you don't want anyone to see, just turn it over. Turn it over and hand it in inside aisle. This is your attendance slip tonight. It's not a commitment to counseling. It's a counseling card that the counselors will be filling out. How many of you know every day with Jesus is greeter than the day before? Let's sing it together. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Cards now in this auditorium. Here's, hold them over your head. There's a few more on the aisle. Any over here? Cards, balcony? Any? Hand them across. Here's one down here. Down the front here. Any in the balcony? Any in the overflow? Hold a card up. Now, stand up and sing it once more like you mean it. Let's let it out. Was that a little too low? I don't know how to pitch song, but all right. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love Him more and more. Jesus saved and He saved, and He won way more. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
How many of you like football? Let me see your hand. You got a good team here, haven't you, in Philadelphia? Tom Landry is a wonderful Christian friend. He's come to many of our crusades to testify and speak to men. He's a great fellow to get people to laugh. He tells a lot of jokes. You tell him about a game that was in the last moments, and the score was tie, and one was decidedly the underdog. And about 2 minutes to play, and the underdog team had the ball, and the first string quarterback of the underdog team had been knocked out of the game. And the coach turned to the second string and said, "Now, son," he says, "if we can end this game in a scoreless tie, it'll be a moral victory. You get in there. You got three plays." Quarterback got knocked out after the first play. Call a quarterback sneak and hit the line and hang on to the ball. Second play, call a quarterback sneak, hit the line and hang on to the ball. Third play, kick the ball as far as you can down the field.
So, quarterback sneak, quarterback.
He gets in, quarterback sneak. He hits the line, and the line opened up, and he ran 30 yards from the 50 down to the 20. Second play, quarterback sneak, hit the line again, and he ran 17 yards down to the 3-yard line. Then he kicked the ball up in the stands. They brought the ball out. The game was over. He jogged off happy with himself, and the coach said, "Son," he said, "the way you were running, you could have scored. You could have had someone kick a field. What was in your mind when you kicked the ball?" He said, "I was just thinking what a dumb coach we had." Well, you're probably going to say that when you get down. Sit down, please. I do know enough to have you sit down anyway. You may say that when you get down on the field, say, "Boy." But I'm sure you'll agree with me. If God's leading you, God's going to help you. Is that right? Billy Graham makes it very clear. The invitation is very clear. The prayer is very clear. All you need to do now is make sure they understand what's happened and give that help that they need. You've got all the literature you need. Turn to page 42. Last few moments here. If every day with Jesus is not sweeter than the day before, maybe God needs to speak to you through this page right here. How many steps do you need to be ahead of a person to lead a person? How many? One step. If you can read and have a Bible, can you help someone? If you don't know where John is, you can look in the index at least, can't you? You can read through the Bible with someone. If you can read, borrow one if you have. The church will probably let you have one. You don't need to know the whole Bible or be a seminary grad to help someone, do you? Let's write down two words quickly. Ability. Availability. I don't think we take very long to decide what's the key to effective follow-up. How many would say it's ability? Let's see your hand. How many would say it's availability? There's where it all begins. Lord, I'm available. Isaiah, you're very familiar. Some of you have preached on it. He said, I'm a man of what kind of lips? Unclean. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. Then the Lord touched my lips. And here's what he said. Here am I, Lord. Send me. Here I am, Lord. And God can touch your lips. Do you believe that tonight? He'll forgive any sin you have in your life and purify you and make you a vessel of honor, fit and meet for the master's use. Are you willing to let God do that? And Paul, when he got converted, and it's in modern translation, it's found in Acts 22:10, if you'd like to write it down. Acts 22:10. Here were Paul's words after his conversion on the road to Damascus. What shall I do, Lord? Wouldn't it be great tonight if in your heart of hearts, every single one of you would say, Lord, I don't have much to offer, but here am I. Wouldn't that be great if every one of us, I don't care how old you are. Years ago, I picked up a little phrase from the Navigators. Start where you are with what you have and do the best you can. Fred would know years ago I had an awful time in Millie expressing myself. I came out of the oil fields of Pennsylvania, and many times I just didn't want to converse with people hardly. I had an awful time. Billy Graham team meetings when people were talking, discussing something, I was trying to formulate an answer, and before I could get my answer, they went to another subject. I was all difficult for me, honestly. And I've had to be over my head all my life. Start where you are with what you have and do the best you can. One day, a little boy had three fishes and a little bread. And what did God do with it? Fed a multitude. God makes a difference, doesn't he? Little old you. One day, Samson needed a machine gun. And he didn't have it, so he took the jawbone of a donkey and slew 1,000 with it. Right? God makes a difference. One day, little David went out against a 10-foot giant who had all the modern instruments of war. And they said, you can't go out. David said to David, oh, he said, the God that delivered me from the paw of the bear and the paw of the lion, he will deliver me from this uncircumcised Philistine. Didn't he? And he didn't try the uniform on. He went out with a sling. And he said to the giant, you come to me with a spear and a sword and a shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the commander of the armies of Israel. And wham! A little sling, and God guided it to a vulnerable spot, and down goes the giant. Start where you are with what you have and do the best you can. Joshua 23:10 says, one of you shall chase 1,000. One of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God, he it is that fighteth for you as he hath promised. You have the majority on your side, Jesus Christ. Amen? Are you willing to step out by faith and say, here am I, Lord? Maybe here's the problem right here. Put down Philippians 1:21, Philippians 2:21. They're one chapter apart, but they're poles apart in commitment. If you know Philippians 1:21, say it with me. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Who said that? Shouldn't that be our testimony also, shouldn't it? For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't care if I'm a bricklayer, an oil field roustabout as I was, or an army officer. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. This verse says, one chapter apart, for all seek their own and not the things which are Jesus Christ. Paul was trying to get someone to go to Philippi. He said, I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. And that's the way a lot of us are. Well, I'll go if there's not a game on, or program is not on, or something on. Are you really committed? You know, a few years ago, I was in a meeting. I spoke, and then Halverson, the chaplain of the Senate, got up after a little break, and he spoke. He made a statement, Glenn, I'll never forget. He said, there's an unbiblical dichotomy between that which is sacred and that which is secular. I didn't know what he's talking about, but I was glad he was on our side anyway. A few years later, I read a little article by a young man that I've come to know, and he explained it. He said this, the secular becomes sacred when you have the eternal in view. But the sacred can become very secular if you have the temporal in view. I was an officer in the army, paid by Uncle Sam, but I was in the mission field. All around me I could share my faith, the officers and the enlisted men. My secular job became a sacred job because I was ministering to people. Get the point? Your pulpit, your profession is your what? Pulpit. Your pulpit. And the more professional you are, the more people will respect you and listen to you. Are you using it? Are you? But on the other hand, your sacred job, you may be a professional in a church office here, and you're doing your work, but you're reaching nobody. The sacred work can become very secular because it's temporal. Underneath that diagram on your page, put a big oval like this and put Dead Sea. Dead Sea. The Jordan River has been emptying into it for centuries. This is one of the richest bodies of water in the world. It has no outlet. Christians are like that. They've been drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking and drinking. We're full of truth, full of nuggets. We have no outlet. I read last year in Religious News, 1990, 5,000 Bible bookstores sold 2.7 billion dollars worth of books and literature and records and so on. That should make us the most spiritual people in the world, shouldn't it? Most active. And yet, we have a hard time getting people to go out on visitation. So, have you read so-and-so? Have you listened to so-and-so? We're running from one to another. And this class, of course, will be over next week, and you go, well, now, what am I going to do next? I'll put this away. Friends, let's jump in. Let me give you three outlets. Put them down. Put OPAND, Andrew. Every one of us. Operation N. Put it down. Get involved. An outlet. Put it over here. C-O-U-N. I can be a counselor. Begin to help people. I can take the Bible study course next week and lead a Bible study. I can meet one-on-one with people, the material I'm getting. Get an outlet to this Dead Sea. And let God begin to use you. Start where you are with what you have and do the best you can. Amen? Are you willing to? Boy, I tell you what. What a joy it will be to get into the battle and begin to see lives touched. Well, I've got 5 minutes to close it off. Let's put down multiplication. Write down the word multiply. John 12:24 says, except a kernel of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. NIV says, unless a kernel of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. Die to self. Let's write it down. Die to self. When we begin to die to self and let God take our lives and help to touch other lives, now we begin to multiply our life. I had a lesson on this some time ago, and you can read this in the library. The kernel or corn of wheat is put into the ground. Softening and enlarging begins. Osmosis, it takes in the moisture. A beautiful thing, second thing takes place. A chemical change, starches turn to sugar. And I like this, the work of the Holy Spirit. Here's an old oil field roustabout. I let God have my life. Now these many, many years, He's been changing me a little bit every day, and He still has a lot of changes to make. But thank God for the beautiful work of the Holy Spirit. Is that right? But we all with open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, were changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Start every day surrendering and walk in the Spirit. Beautiful. Starches to sugar. Chemical change. And then a brokenness. BR and the roots come down. And a shoot goes up, and then there's fruit. You notice on our diagram below these four lines, read the law of the agronomist with me. Law of the agronomist. An equal amount of root for shoot. If you don't have any root, you won't have any shoot, and you won't have any fruit. This begins with a yield down here. I yield to God. I yield to the Holy Spirit. And then God wonderfully gives a yield up here. So it begins with my commitment. God, here I am. I want to learn to die to self. And this is a daily, die daily. And then you invest in others. Again, put Operation Andrew down there. I'm going to invest by getting people prayed for to the meeting and make a commitment and then help follow them. You invest by being a counselor, helping others in their commitment, by Bible study leader. Invest. Make yourself available. Paul, Jesus ordained 12 that they might be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Turn to page 44. We're ready to close it out here, friends. Read the top paragraph out loud with me. The Lord Jesus, our master teacher, introduced a principle which all of us can practice. Though he ministered generally to the public, he often spent time with a few. And he ordained 12 that they should be with him. Underline with him. And while they were with him, they learned so much watching him, listening to him. And that's how people can learn from you as they're with you. Read on. And he might send them forth to preach. Throughout the Gospels, you'll find him drawing aside with the 12 or some of the 12. Through this close, intimate contact with them, he shared his life and then challenged them with the propagation of the faith. Second paragraph. Closely related to the with him principle, what Jesus Christ introduced, is the thought of investing your life. Underline investing your life. Read on, in the life of another. This was a challenge the Apostle Paul left with Timothy. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. In other words, commit to others or invest in others by passing on to them what's been committed to you. And so, you die to self, you invest, and you start with one. Start with one. How many mothers here had twins? Could I see your hands? One down here, one down here. Any triplets? God knew that one at a time was enough, didn't he? And friends, if you don't win someone soon, adopt. Someone. You know what happens when a person adopts a woman who could not bear children, all of a sudden something takes place in that body. Isn't that right? You heard it. You know that, don't you? Is that right? Is it? And so adopt one. And I'll close with this. First Samuel, read it sometime. You have Elkanah, the husband, Penina, the wife, and Hannah, a wife, right? It says that Penina had children, but Hannah had what? None. Verse 5. She was barren. And it was an embarrassment to be barren. Wouldn't you agree with me tonight that it should be an embarrassment to Christians to be barren? Is that right? We're servants, we're lights, ambassadors, salt, witnesses. That doesn't mean you're going to go out and preach or do anything. We can start serving the Lord in different ways. Right. So Hannah was embarrassed. She went to the temple to pray, and her lips were going like this, pouring her heart on Eli, thought she was drunk. He was ready to kick her out. She said, I'm not a child of Belial. I've got a burden. What is it? I want a child. Eli said, go thy way. Thy prayer is heard. She had not only one, she had several, right? This verse says, for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me the petition which I asked of him. Samuel means asked for. Write it down. If you don't believe it, look at verse 20. Ask for. Can't we start asking God for spiritual children or adopting them? Can't we? And then stay with one. Get one going. Stay with that one until that person is growing in Christ in the church and becoming a strong witness for Christ for others. Well, we're through. Lord willing, how many are coming back next week to get in this Bible study? Now, some of you have already handed your application in. Would all of those gathering application go back to your table, please? Some of you have yours to hand in. Would you that have already handed your application in just sit quietly for a few moments and pray that God will lead others? All right, now, listen. Here's what you folks checked on your cards tonight. Listen. Salvation, 45 checked. They accepted Christ during the training. 52 checked assurance. 74 checked rededication. God's at work. Right? All right. Would all these people taking applications come to your table now? In the foyer? Anywhere? Are there people in the overflow, Glenn? Do you know? Well, there's people that are taking applications up there, too. Hey, we had a number of people doing them here. Where are their interviewers? Where's our grader? Where's our people here? Come on. Get down here. Where are they? Did they leave? As Paul said, no man stood with me. Where are you? What happened? Come on, stand. You're doing too many things here. Okay. Hey, we haven't prayed yet. You're in the Lord's business. Let's pray. Let's pray. Even if you don't have your pastor's signature, we'll take your application. We'll get the signature. Don't use that as an excuse. If you're not quite finished, take time and finish. Okay? In the final analysis, if you don't have anything done on it, fill it out and bring it back next week, and we'll take it next week. Okay? We need a lot of counselors, and I pray that God will lead you to do the counseling if you have any ability at all, because we would like to talk one-on-one with all those that come forward. Well, thank you for your participation, your faithfulness. We'll see you next week, Lord willing. Let's pray. Father, we pray tonight that you'll lead each one of us as to whether or not we should be involved in the counseling and give us the courage to step out. And Lord, I pray that every one of us, if we've been in a Dead Sea syndrome and just taking in and taking in and taking in but doing nothing, God, help us to get that opened up with Operation Andrew, with teaching one-on-one, leading a Bible study, becoming a counselor, until the water's flowing through us, the water of living life. God, help us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Pray now if you've already handed yours in, and then quietly leave us. There's a couple of girls down here who have been filling their applications out, ready to hand them in.